الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درشه بالله Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, in our last session of Darsi Hadith, we covered the brief biography of some of the governors during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anha. The reason why we had to speak on this very important subject, explaining the seerah, the biography of some of the governors, was to acquit Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an from the false allegations directed to him by the munafiqeen, by the enemies of Islam. It is unimaginable for any man to say that Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an played the role of favoritism, or that aliyazu billah he was very partial and selective in appointing his governors. Yes, there were certain individuals who were related to him, but in any case the Arabs were related to one another anyway. And alhamdulillah, by going through each individual and his character, and especially those that were related to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, it becomes clear that it was sheer competence and taqwa that was in them that Hazrat Uthman bin Affan had seen and had given them the position of being the governors during his khilafat. In fact, some of these governors were even appointed by the Khulafa'i Rashideen. For example, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and many. They played a very important role also during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and some even served Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so in all truth, it was just a continuation following the predecessors Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. However, the munafiqeen were ever ready, aliyazu billah, to tarnish and to revile the status of Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. It was never going to be easy for a pious man, for the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As I have already mentioned, that every time a pious man or someone who wishes to implement the laws of Sharia, you will always find obstacles and hurdles from the shaitan. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed the dunya, the world as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that khair and shar both flow together. Khair and shar both flow together. And it is up to that individual whether he adopts the path of piety or whether he follows the footsteps of shaitan. And you'll find certain individual, especially amongst the Salafu Salihin, Sahaba Kiram Ajma'een, Tabi'een, Tabi Tabi'een. We have to be very, very careful in understanding their biography and their seerah. And especially Hazrat Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, a lot of sensitive issues have to be understood clearly when we speak about Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, the enemies were ever ready. They were waiting any opportunity given to them, Allahu Akbar, to spread false rumors, any scandal, to concoct any situation against Hazrat Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. They were right in the forefront. Though Hazrat Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an was in Madinatul Munawwara, but they would make life difficult for Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an by making things difficult for the governors that were appointed by Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an. And the strategy that was adopted by these munafiqeen, the hypocrites, was to create rift between the companions, or to break the unity, to disunite them. It was extremely difficult. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een were mountains of ikhlas. These were people who were mukhlis, very, very sincere. And to disunite them, it was never going to be easy. But this was the mission that the munafiqeen had taken upon themselves, to somewhat disunite some of the companions. How? By accusing them, or by spreading false rumors, and by spreading lies. This was the methodology adopted by especially a group of people during the Khilafat of Hazrat Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. One such incident that had occurred, and it is worth mentioning, inshaAllah ta'ala, and we will end our session tonight by giving you this explanation of what had happened between Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. Even today you'll find, unfortunately, in books, people not respecting Hazrat Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, even the companions, general companions. And they say that Hazrat Uthman, during his term of Khilafat, had banished Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an out from Syria and out from Madinatul Munawwara. Now, who was Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an? Hazrat Usman bin Affan needs no introduction. He is a Sahabi, a Khalifa of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third successor to Rasulullah, the son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man who is titled as Zunnurain, two daughters of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were in the nikah of this great man. So he needs no introduction. Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, again, a very senior Sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose real name was Uwaymir. From Amir, you also get Uwaymir. That was his real name, Uwaymir. And a man who participated in majority of the battles with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In all of the jihadi expeditions, he was there with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he is considered to be a very senior sahabi. What had happened is that the munafiqeen were there waiting for every opportunity, or any opportunity that occurred. First we look at the character of Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an. He is a sahabi. That would mean that we have to respect a sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are individuals who Allah has given the certificate of Jannah to them in the Quran. Virtually every para praises the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the level of taqwa in Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an was very different. All of the companions were very, very pious. But Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an was a man in his own world. And that was because of that very high degree of taqwa that was in him. And even today, generally, you'll find that some individuals, they have a very high level of taqwa, and therefore it would be a very high degree of abstinence in them. So for an example, you'll find that one individual will go to town, and if he goes to town, there is nothing wrong. Is there anything wrong going to town? If he wants to buy something, he has gone to the market, he's gone down, he can do so. But then you'll find another man who abstains from going to town. He says, no, why? I wish not to go to town. Why? Maybe I haven't got that power to control myself, and so I won't go to town. Today we live in the technological world. You can order everything by line, internet, and that is it. I will not go to town. Now for that man who does not go to town, he is also right. But the person who also goes to town, a common man, a simple man, who is a Muslim, who is a believer, mashallah, but he goes to town, he is also right. So one is taqwa and one is fatwa. So if you get a fatwa from someone, it might be jais that what you can do this. So fatwa is a different issue. And another thing is taqwa. Taqwa is a different issue. Maybe the level of taqwa of an individual is stopping someone from doing something. Allahu Akbar. So for an example, Maulana Haq Nawaz Jangvi, a great scholar from Pakistan, scholars were giving him a free ticket to go to Madinatul Munawwara. Go and give salam to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he was in his own world. He said that, how can I go to Madina Munawwara and greet my Nabi when in my country there are people who are swearing at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq, Hazrat Aisha, and Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, and the companions of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How do you expect me to stand in front of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to say to him, Assalamu Alaika Ya Rasulullah? And you see, this was a man of his own level. We need to understand certain individuals and their natural disposition, their natural character. So Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an was again a man who was very strict when it came to the laws of Sharia. He would not seek for unnecessary concession in the laws of the Sharia. And this can be explained even in the hadith of Hazrat Shaddad ibn Aus, which is recorded in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, where they actually describe the character of this Sahabi whose name is Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an would listen to a hadith from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and if in that hadith there was some strictness, a degree of strictness in that hadith, Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an would take that hadith, listen to the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was a man who would immediately convey the message to the brothers, because he was a Sahabi. He would want to explain to the people what he had heard from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he would explain that hadith with the same strictness, and the Sahaba would say later on, if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given any concession in that very same hadith narrated by Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an, if that concession did not come to Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an, then he would follow the hadith with that same level of strictness, and he would expect people to follow that hadith to that same level and degree. And so this was the type of man Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an was, a very strict man. Subhanallah. And that is why at times it was a bit difficult for him to actually mix in with the common man, with the simple people that are there. That is why ulama have mentioned, for anyone who is a leader or who holds this prime position, or he is a qazi, or in fact if he is even an imam, he should not look at everything with his own eyes, or he should not adopt this tunnel vision that no, what I say is right, but rather he must even look into the concessions that are there in the Sharia. Because Sharia is easy. The laws of the Quran are not there to restrict a person. The laws of the Quran are not there to make life a misery for a person. That a person feels unsecure. He feels that, oh my God, what kind of laws are this? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yassiru wa la tu'assiru. Make life easy for an individual. Don't make life hard for a person. So make it easy. Yassiru wa la tu'assiru. And this is something that's very, very important for any man in the Islamic Khilafat. If that position is given to him, that he is a qazi. That is why you'll find even amongst the fuqaha that if you study the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, it is quite simplified and it is quite easy for the common man to practice today. Quite easy. But you'll find some of the fuqaha who have their own madhab and they say that any man who conveniently or intentionally misses out from his salah and does his salah qaza, he's a kafir. He's a kafir. Literally, that this man is a disbeliever. And so you have each individual following their own madhab. But for the common man, how is he to view the rules of Sharia? This is something that is very, very important. So for an example, this man decided not to perform Isha Salah with Jama'at. And this news was given to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, why don't you perform Salah in your locality, in the masjid? He said, Ya Rasulullah, how can I perform my Isha Salah when the Imam is Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an? When the Imam is Hazrat Mu'adh. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hazrat Mu'adh is a Sahabi. What is wrong with him? A great, great Sahabi. He says, there is nothing wrong with him. But his Isha Salah is to his level of taqwa. Very long, very long. And we are people who need to wake up early in the morning. We need to work by mushtaq. Not we need to work. We all need to work. And so his salah is very, very long. The ruku is long. The sujood is long. His taqwa. We don't question about his salah, about his knowledge. But very long. And so he does not think of the other individuals that are there. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry. Really angry. And he said, at once call Mu'adh here. And Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an came. And that is why even for the Imams, it is better for them, especially in the times of fitna. Especially in the times of fitna, when people don't have that capacity to intake good deeds, to make it easy for the people. And that is why even in the Haram, you will find a lot of the time, it is even for Jummah, the Jummah Salah is quite short. At times even for Fajr it is quite short. So Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Afattanun ya Mu'az, are you making yourself a fitna for my followers? Are you making yourself a fitna for my followers? He says, never ya Rasulullah. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make it easy for my ummah. And that is why in the Sharia you will find that if you read Maghrib Salah, there is an allocation in the Quran that you read from certain chapters here, and for Fajr you read from certain chapters. Though the general common rule is that a man can read any part of the Quran. That is the general rule. But to make it easy, so in Sharia moderation is very, very important. Now the madhab of Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an was very, very difficult. That is why you see at times in the hadith it is mentioned Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very fond of miswak. Very fond. But at times, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would abstain from using the miswak continuously. At all times. Otherwise, he was very fond of miswak. And he actually said to the companions that, I fear in case this sunnah of mine becomes obligatory for my followers, that someone might take it to the category of wajib or farz. And I don't wish to burden my followers with any difficulty, that I think of that simple man who is there to follow me and my sunnah. And I want to make it easy for them. Many, many instances. So for an example, even the Taraweeh Salah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not actually perform continuously Salatul Taraweeh or Qiyamul Layl in the month of Ramadan in the congregation continuously, as we do today. And he actually explained the reason why. He said, I don't want to make Salatul Taraweeh a farz upon my ummah. But it was only later on, the likes of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, and with the group of companions, it was an ijma' that you perform. If you were scattered in the masjid and a group was praying tarawih here, a group was praying tarawih there, a group was praying tarawih there, Hazrat Umar said, why don't you all pray behind one imam? And he appointed Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala an, and until today you will find that the tarawih of 20 rakats, that is in practice. Many ahadiths speak of this. Subhanallah, even tahajjud salah. Some of the muhaddiseen have mentioned that tahajjud for Rasulullah was an obligation, was compulsory. But for the followers, for those who follow the sunnah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's optional. Otherwise, if tahajjud was an obligation, it would be quite difficult to wake up, isn't it, my respected brothers? In many of the masail, you will find that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given this clear concession, this rukhsah, so that it is a form of ease, a form of ease. There's no water, not a problem, do tayammum. Subhanallah. Very, very cold, mashallah, if you're wearing leather socks, don't even need to wash your feet and just do masa. And this is the ease that is very important. Once a group of companions came to the house of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they asked one of the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the manner of worship of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained that this is how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would worship, this is what he would do, this is what he would do. And a group of companions that were there, one of them said, right, subhanallah, if this is the worship of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is a Nabi and Allah has given him this position in the hereafter, how much should we work hard for to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much sacrifice should we give in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So one said, from now on, I will never marry. Huh? I will? Aurat ho to pareshani na bhai. There's no woman, no problem. No woman, no problem. But it is wrong. A man can't even do without a woman. A man can't even do without a woman. But he said, no woman, I will not marry. Why, if I marry, I have to feed her, look after the children, this responsibility. I will not marry. I will just worship Allah. Another man came and said, I will fast during the day for the rest of my life. Continuously, I will fast. And these were companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What they would say, that is what they would do. And another sahabi said that, in the night I will not sleep, I will only read tahajjud throughout my life, from Isha to Fajr. A bit of sleep, wake up, and then that is it, to read tahajjud all my life. Oh, the three went away. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, and the wife said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, three companions came, and this is what they have taken upon themselves to do, to carry out. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam got angry, and he met each individual and he said to them that, I am better than you, I am better than you, but yet I sleep in the night and I wake up in the night. I fast and I also miss out fasting, and I wake up in the night, I take the responsibility, and I have done nikah, I have done nikah. And he said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Anyone who turns away from my sunnah is not from me. And so this path of moderation is extremely important. But certain individuals, their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that it is better just to say yes to them because of their intense love that they have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you cannot blame them and that you can't say that they are wrong. And from amongst the companions, Abu Zar was that sahabi, a very high level of taqwa. Now his madhab was very difficult. How the matter got to Hazrat Usman was through Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. Hazrat Abu Zar was living in Syria. Now in Syria, because he was a sahabi, he would also give fatwas to people, like Hazrat Amir Muawiyah being a governor, but Hazrat Abu Dhar would hold that position being a sahabi. So anyway, people knew that he's a Sahabi. They would go there. Sahabi, there's a Sahabi here, there's a Sahabi here. In that city, there is a Sahabi. So fatwas were given by the companions. Hazrat Abu Zar used to give a fatwa that it is not jais for any man or a woman to hoard wealth, to accumulate wealth, to save money. And he would cite one verse of the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, and he would say, because Allah has mentioned in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu inna kathiran min al-ahbari wal ruhban la ya'kuluna amwal an-nasi bil batil wa yasudduna an sabilillah. That, O people of Iman, many of the Jewish rabbis and the Christian monks consume the wealth of mankind unlawfully, and they stop people from entering Islam. And then the next verse, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِذُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِدَّةِ, and for those who hoard wealth, money, gold and silver, وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and they don't spend in the path of Allah, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, announce to them a painful punishment in the hereafter. Now because of this ayat kareema, Hazrat Abu Dharr was of the mazhab that a man should live a very simple style, a very simple living. It is not jais for him to save more than 3 dinar. This was his mazhab. How much? Only 3 dinar. Now you can imagine if a Sahabi goes around and gives this fatwa. Obviously, for the common man, this is quite difficult. So news was spreading, Hazrat Abu Zar, his masail are very, very difficult. His mazhab is very, very difficult. And being a Sahabi, who could say anything to him? And he would say only 3 dinar. And he also would give proof of what he is saying. He's saying that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I had wealth equivalent to the mountain of Uhud, I would not want a night to go by without spending all of that money equivalent to the mountain of Uhud, except for saving 3 dinar. Except for saving only 3 dinar. So he's saying you can only save 3 dinar. So there is no problem with, you know, the inland revenue and the other people chasing you, and you know, all the benefit people and the fraud issue. That would not be a problem. You should only have 3 dinar. And this was the madhab of this Sahabi, which was very difficult. But at the same time, my respected brothers, this was also the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi was very unique. His practice was, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he married with Khadija, he said to Khadija, your wealth is your wealth, but my madhab is, as a Nabi, I will not save anything. Everything is in the path of Allah. And so it was a very simple living. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have anything. And this is how he was. And Hazrat Abu Dharr wanted to adopt the same manner. And some people who were like Hazrat Abu Dharr were even like Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. When we look at the seerah of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was also quite strict. But he was a man who was given a lot of wisdom. The difference was, Hazrat Umar would do it on himself, but allow others to practice. But Hazrat Abu Dharr was such a pious man, he said, no, I will do it, you do it also. I will do it also, you do it. So this was quite difficult. So Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, being a Sahabi, took Hazrat Abu Dharr on the side. He said, you know what, the ayat kareema that you quote to people is with regards to the Jews and the Christians. And there is nothing wrong if a man has discharged his annual zakat. After discharging his annual zakat, for him to save up wealth, there is nothing wrong. Because halal is halal, and what is haram, it is haram. And Hazrat Abu Dharr, being very senior, got very naraz. How can you do this? Well, the love of dunya has entered your hearts. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has gone, and you have been influenced by the Christians and the Jews, when it is Jannah for the believers. How can you say that one should save? Now again, this man has to be excused. What a Sahabi! What a Sahabi. And this was because of his level of taqwa. These were certain individuals, and you even get those individuals here in this world today. Certain pious people are like that. You just look at them and you say, bhai, say. What you're saying is right. But for the common man, it is quite difficult to live in that manner. And so things were very difficult in Syria. When this matter was brought forward to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an said to Hazrat Abu Dharr, Abu Dharr, at once I want you to leave Syria and I want you to come to Madinatul Munawwara. Now when the hypocrites and the munafiqeen that were there heard of a difference of opinion between Hazrat Amir Muawiyah and Hazrat Abu Dharr, they started spreading rumors that the companions are fighting with each other. Aliyazu billah. It is like today as if someone would say, Imam Shafi did not like Imam Malik. Imam Malik did not like Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa did not like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Astaghfirullahi lazim. Astaghfirullahi lazim. These were great, great fuqaha who respected each other. And what they speak is only to facilitate the ummah in Islamic jurisprudence, for them to understand the laws of Sharia easily. And so they were now spreading rumors. When this news got to Madinatul Munawwara, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan looked at Hazrat Abu Dharr, and though Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was right, of course, and the majority of the scholars were of the opinion that there is no harm in saving money if you have given your charity, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and gave him a choice. Said to him, I think it would be better for you to live close to me in Madinatul Munawwara, where I am here. Or if you want, you could go outside Madinatul Munawwara and live elsewhere. And the name mentioned by Hazrat Uthman was a place called Ar-Ridha, that you can live in a zone, a locality called Ar-Ridha. Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an was a man who would run away from fitna. And he knew what was actually happening in Kufa and what was happening in Iraq. Things were at a brink of eruption. And he knew that fitna will come. Being a Sahabi, he said to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, that I will move out from Madinatul Munawwara and I want to live alone in Ar-Ridha. Hazrat Uthman said to him, you are fine to live where you want. And in fact, there was nothing had happened when it came to maintaining good ties and the relationship between the two companions. It was always there. It is said that frequently Hazrat Abu Dharr would come to Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform salah. Now, Ar-Ridha was not even a locality that was cut away from Madinatul Munawwara. It was in fact the main stop for the people who would travel to Makkah. They would always stop in that locality where Ar-Ridha is. For the people who came from Iraq to perform Hajj, they would always halt and stop at Ar-Ridha. And even the zakah camels of the Muslim treasury, the pasture land was in the location of Ar-Ridha. So it was a land that was known to the people. A lot of people would go there, and a lot of people would even meet Hazrat Abu Dharr. Hazrat Uthman must have even thought that it would be better for Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an to teach ilm and hadith to the local people in that area and who come as musafireen. And this was the only issue between Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an. But again, it was blown out of proportion, and you'll find a lot of the historians mention this. Oh, aliyazu billah, Hazrat Uthman did not allow Hazrat Abu Dharr to live in Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat Uthman did not allow Hazrat Abu Dharr to live in Syria. And because Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was related to Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Uthman forced him out from Syria, aliyazu billah. Astaghfirullah. And like I have said, it is unimaginable. In fact, there is fear of the iman being snatched away from that person who thinks ill of this great Sahabi, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. It was even the prophecy of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Abu Dharr is a Sahabi who will live alone. In the hadith it comes, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once looked at Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an and said to him, Rahim Allah Aba Dharr. May Allah have mercy on Abu Dharr. Yamshi wahda, wa yamutu wahda, wa yub'athu wahda. These are the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah have mercy on Abu Dharr. His level of taqwa is so high. His level of obedience to Allah is so high that none can come close to him. He will walk alone, and he will die alone, and he will be resurrected alone. And this is what happened during the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. The wife was with him and a slave. Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an, when he was critically ill, he said to the wife, if I pass away, what I want you to do is put my body, my janaza, out of the house. So when the musafireen, the people of the caravan who travel from Makkah to Medina or Medina to Makkah, they would stop at Ar-Ridha. When they stop, tell the slave to go and meet the people of the caravan and say to them that this is the body of Abu Dharr and do whatever you want to do with it. Subhanallah, a great sahabi like Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an, when he passes away, they put the body of Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an outside the house, and a caravan comes, and who is in that caravan? The giant amongst the companions, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. What a sahabi, subhanallah. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is there, and the caravan stops, everybody rushes to see what is happening, and they speak to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud comes, and when he looks at the face of Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud starts to cry. And he quoted the same hadith, and he said, oh my brother Abu Dharr, Rahim Allah Abu Dharr, I remember what my Nabi said about you, that may Allah have mercy on Abu Dharr. Yamshi wahda, he will be alone. Wa yamut wahda, he will die alone. And on the day of Qiyamah, he will be resurrected alone. Why? Because of complete abstinence from dunya. He had no connection whatsoever with dunya. And in fact, even for the wife to live with a man like that, Allahu Akbar, one only has to salute and respect a woman to be a partner to this great sahabi, that even people could not sort of rival to his manner of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to say that my madhab is to say that it is haram for anyone to have any form of wealth except for 3 dinar. And to maintain that for the rest of the life, it is very, very difficult. Hazrat Abu Abdullah ibn Mas'ud gave him ghusl, the kafan and dafan was done, and the janaza namaz was prayed. Immediately Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud went to Madinatul Munawwara, informed Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Usman, the love he had for Hazrat Abu Dharr, immediately came from Madinatul Munawwara and made dua at the grave of Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an. And Hazrat Abu Dharr had a daughter and a wife, and he requested the daughter and the wife that it is better for you now to move out from Ar-Ridha and to settle with my family. Hazrat Usman is saying, to settle with my family, and I take it up to myself with my own finance to look after you. And he says, come to Madinatul Munawwara if you wish, where you are closer to the women folks and to also to the companions. And the wife and the daughter decided that it was better for them now to stay in Madinatul Munawwara. This was the end of this great sahabi, Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an, aliyazu billah. When a man is out there to make mischief, then nothing can stop him. What a simple understanding and explanation, the relationship that was there between the companions, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, and Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an. But yet today you will find people who have no understanding of Islam, no understanding of Islamic history, and decide to write a book, and perhaps to suit the Shia of this world, go against Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an and disrespect him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah. In the next few sessions to come, I think we will now start with the real fitna and the difficulty that starts with Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, which eventually leads to the shahadat of this great man, and what a martyr he is in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his position in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.